Write a song.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the What's in a Song podcast, and Happy New Year. In honor of the new year, I have a gift for you. I am teaching a free workshop this Saturday, January 6th, from 4 o'clock to 5:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I'm so excited about this workshop because it's going to start off by talking about holding our creative time and really putting boundaries around the time that we set aside for our creativity, because we really can't write if we don't set the time aside. And so we'll also have a chance for you to ask any questions that you have. And I'm going to be teaching a couple of songwriting tools and techniques, as well as lyric writing tools and techniques. So I'm really excited to be sharing this with you. So I will see you hopefully this Saturday, January 6th at 4 o'clock. To join the workshop, you just have to do two things. Go to scarletkeys.com and sign up for the mailing list. And then go to Instagram at scarletkeysofficial and follow me. And once you followed me, send me a direct message just with the word workshop. And we will send you a link to join us this Saturday, January 6th. When you join the mailing list, you're going to get to hear about some upcoming workshops I'm going to be offering, which I'm really excited about. All right, so today I have singer, songwriter, producer, and actor Aidan LaPrette on the show. As a young boy, he was pretty world famous for his ukulele playing, and he evolved into a singer, songwriter, and most recently a producer. He's had albums out in the past under the name Aidan James, and now most recently has changed his name to Aidan LaPrette. You might have seen him on Hawaii Five-O or The Wilds. And in my conversation with Aidan today, I loved it so much because he really is going to show you some of his techniques and the before rough version of that, and then the final project. So I really love hearing the difference between sort of his process and the final product. And we'll hear a couple of his new songs, which are so fabulous, and just talk about life and acting and creating a career in music in any way that we can. So here's my conversation with Aidan LaPrette. Hello, Aidan.
Hey.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. I'm so happy to have you here. And literally, this could be a two-hour conversation about all the things that you do, from acting to magic tricks. I don't know if you're still up to that.
I can't remember. I cannot believe I showed you magic tricks. That's crazy.
The worst part was I couldn't figure it out. And you were how old? Like eight?
I was like 12 or 13. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, pretty interesting though. I actually wouldn't mind talking about that in a minute. Yeah, I mean, you're doing kind of the old movie star actor, where you're a singer, a musician, and an actor. And that happens a little bit in some people's careers, but it's still rare. And I would love to hear a little bit about your acting career and how that is going. But for our purposes today, the fact that you are a virtuoso ukulele player and you play guitar and you're now a producer, I would love to dig into talking to you about that. But before we start, I'd love to have you just share with the listeners sort of your background from growing up as a musician and what brought you to this moment.
Yeah. So I'm now 22, but I started making music when I was four. I started playing the ukulele when I was four. I'm from Honolulu, Hawaii, originally. So kind of, you know, the normal thing would be to, you know, pick up a ukulele if you're going into music. So that was the first thing that I did. And I played ukulele for many years. And I wasn't really into it till I was around eight. And that's when I started hearing it in contemporary music, pop music. I heard it in a song called Hey Soul Sister by Train. And so I basically learned that song and I started playing it at ukulele festivals. I was playing at these ukulele festivals at the time. I went to this ukulele studio, Roy Sukuma's Ukulele Studios, and started playing at ukulele festivals, and I played Hey Soul Sister, and then someone videotaped it and put it on YouTube, and that blew up, got like 20 million views, and that kind of started my music career. And from that, I started writing my own music, went to Nashville and kind of learned how to write music. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was writing with these writers, but I had no sense of like developing a sound. I was kind of just making whatever came at the time, you know, and I put out an album. This was all under the name Aiden James at the time. And I got to tour. I got to do a lot of really cool things in my teenage years. And then I would say around 16, 17, I really wanted to start developing my own sound. And I moved to LA around that time. And I started working with producers and writers and really starting to get closer to like the sound I wanted to actually make. But I still wasn't there yet. And then I discovered producing, and I was like, I wanted to learn how to produce to make my own demos to present to producers so they could, you know, kind of get closer to the sound that I wanted. But then when I started learning production, I was like, I can just end up just doing it myself, you know? So that's kind of where I was at. And when I was 18, I really started producing for myself. And that's when I found my sound. And I've been really happy with where my music is at now, because it's very truly me, and it's very honest and really 100% me, because I produce and write and
And so let's just touch base with your acting. Can you just talk about that and the show that you were on and what you're up to with that? Are you still in that field? Are you still interested in being an actor?
Yeah. So I'm actually acting longer than music, but both things are so, like, you know, not really stable, you know. You don't really have steady income coming in both. So I kind of just go with what, you know, what I feel, what's happening at the moment. You can never really predict with acting, you know. It's all in other people's hands. So I did a few like guest star roles when I moved to LA, and then I landed my first series regular around 3 years ago now. It was a show called The Wilds on Amazon Prime, and a great experience. I shot it in Australia. I lived in Australia for 6 months, and one of the best times of my life. It was really like my college, you know. I was 19 and didn't go to college, and that was like the college, because it was just a bunch of like young kids and all just in this apartment and having a good time and shooting a TV show that we love. And yeah, that came out almost like 2.5 years ago, I think. Yeah. 2.5 years ago. And, so I did that, and that was incredible. And then now I just shot a film in Canada a couple months ago, like right before the strike, a film called This Too Shall Pass. And, that's going to come out, I think, next year at some point. But yeah,
I know that there's a lot, you know, that we can learn from acting and kind of channel that into performance as singers. Do you feel like your acting skills have helped you with performance?
Oh, good question. I don't know. I haven't really like thought about that, to be honest, but I mean, it definitely probably does, you know, the comfortness and just like putting yourself out there. And I think it definitely helps. It definitely helps with, like, you know, music videos. And I also like produce and edit and direct my own music videos, and I'm in them. And obviously that helps with that stuff as well. And, you know, it definitely does on stage, you know, it's performance. So I think, and acting is a performance as well. So it kind of goes hand in hand.
What was your process for finding yourself as a singer?
You know, it's definitely the mimicking of like artists that I liked at the time. I mean, Hazel's Sister was like kind of my magnum opus, you know, at the time. That was kind of what I based what the type of music that I wanted to do. I'm trying to think, like, artist wise I mean, I loved like Justin Bieber and, like, you know, all like the big pop guys and girls at the time. I was kind of just, yeah, I think I was just finding myself, you know. I didn't really have a sense. I mean, I was 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old. You know, I didn't have a sense of like what type of artistry or like voice I wanted to project. I was kind of just going off of what I watched or listened to at the time. And I always like had a good pitch, which I'm thankful for. And that wasn't really ever like a learning thing for me. But I think just like developing and making it sound good. And, you know, I went to voice lessons. My good friend Jason Allen from Hawaii taught me a lot about my voice from a very young age, and how to sing from the diaphragm and, you know, all of that. So yeah, I think it went from like mimicking other artists to like actually toning in the voice and learning how to use it, you know?
So do you teach yourself home production?
Yeah, I taught myself, really, I mean, I can't really say I taught myself because like, I, you know, I was in sessions with people and I was just like stealing and like, I mean, learning and asking questions and like stealing information about like, you know, how to make things sound cool. And I was recording like myself at the time, like on Logic or GarageBand. But like, it didn't sound good, you know, like nothing sounded good. So then when I'd go into sessions with producers, everything would sound good. And I'd be asking questions and like, just trying to learn things. And that's kind of how it became a thing, you know. My team at the time, I think, saw that ear for me. So they wanted me to kind of take a second to learn production. And they started putting me in sessions with artists where I wasn't even like a proficient producer yet, you know, but I was doing these sessions for artists and they were relying on me to create the sound for them. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I was, you know, I was like 15. You know, but through all those experiences, I just started, you know, getting better and learning every day. And I'm still learning every day about production. Like that's still a very new tool to me, even though I've been doing it for 3 to 4 years, now. And yeah, I think it's just like a beautiful thing to be able to have an artist come in and be like, I want you to like find and create my sound, like sonically, not just with lyrics and songwriting, but like with the music, you know. I think that's such a personal thing to like allow someone else to like help you find that. And it's something that I love, you know, with like developing artists and helping them find that, because I feel like if you want to replicate a sound, or like if you have a lot of like artists that you want to like sound like, I don't know if I'm like the producer for that type of vibe. If you want to find a sound that hasn't been heard before, or like kind of blends a lot of things and they're just down to like get experimental and try new things, I feel like that's where my strong suits are in, because my own music blends a lot of different genres and sounds, and yeah, that's what I would say.
Okay. Well, I want to jump into one of your songs here, because we'll sort of let it all speak for itself. We'll hear, this is your production. This is you singing. This is you playing. Are you playing all the instruments?
Yeah.
Okay. What live instruments are you playing on this track?
Are we playing Portland first?
Yeah, let's play Portland.
Yeah, this one, I play guitar. I programmed the drums and play bass. I wrote this with two of my good friends, Misha Mandel and Stella Smythe. And I produced this one with my friend Stella Smythe as well, who's a genius.
Okay, let's just play it and then we'll talk about it.
I wanna know if you're going home, 'cause I lost my head. Do you gotta go? You went to Portland.
Okay. That is just, that's beautiful. It's such a pleasure to just listen to all of the different things that are happening within the track. Like, you really have layered that landscape with so many different beautiful ideas, but nothing is intruding on anything else.
Thank you. Thanks for playing it.
Yeah, I wanted to hear the whole thing and to talk about it in live time because, you know, do you want to talk about your personal songwriting process? I know that we can write different ways, but, you know, for anybody listening that's maybe looking for a new way to try to write, for a new process or just, you know, maybe beginning writers, like what is your best advice or what are some things that you've picked up over the years that are, that you really love trying out as far as any process or technique?
Yeah, no. Well, thank you for playing it and just sharing it with your audience and listening as well.
And are your songs ending up in film and TV? Because this really sounds perfect for placement. You.
Yeah. I mean, I have written for film and TV and I've done a lot of cool stuff in that field, but no, not recently. Like, my stuff hasn't gotten synced or anything, but it will at some point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think with my own personal songwriting experience, it's like developed over the years for sure. But I think right now is the way that I go about it now is probably what I will end up doing forever. As a producer as well, I think it's really helpful. So basically I like to start with guitar, on everything, no matter what the vibe is. Even when I'm producing for others, I like to start with guitar because that's the instrument that I'm, that I know the most and know how to play chords on the most. So I'd like to find chords on guitar and record those. And then maybe I'll do a little production. But then after that, I like to do melody takes, which is like just like a bunch of gibberish to find melodies. And I just record a bunch of different melodies and I end up structuring that out and picking like the best parts and picking best parts for verse and pre and hook. And then I just write to the melodies. I turn the mumbles into words and then I'm like, okay, how do I make that make sense? And I feel like that's the best way for me, to go about it just because I love melodies, as well. And I feel like I'm really strong in melodies and lyrics are still things that I love bringing in songwriters. And I write with my friend Misha a lot, who wrote on this song with me. And I love, cause he basically just comes in and hears where my lyrics are at you know, at whatever point it is and just, you know, builds on top of it, adds on, helps me push them to, you know, be better. But I feel like that's the best process for me. And more recently I've been working with a lot of artists who kind of bring in lyrics, but aren't musically, they don't have the music yet. And that's been a newer process for me as well, because they just kind of have these beautiful lyrics and they're singing them, but they're not really structured or like they're not to music yet. Mm-hmm. So that's been also an interesting way of going about it, because I've been able to take those and put them to a, you know, to a structure and put them, find the verse in them and the pre in them and the hook. Yeah,
the mumbling, which sounds very untechnical, but is definitely a process that works so well. You know, I just had a class the other day and I had the students write a certain rhythmic idea. And I said, you know, they said, oh, do we need to have lyrics? And I said, you know, sometimes lyrics can really hinder, I think sometimes writing lyrics first can hinder for some people your best melody, because they come with a little melody built inside of them. And an inherent rhythm, like the word, like beautiful, you know, there's a little rhythm there, there's a little melody. And I think it was Cole Porter who loved to listen to the sound of a sentence and then start to write the melody from the sound of the words. But when we're not worried about the words, we are so much freer, especially now in pop music, to create really intricate rhythms that I don't think you would create if you were being loyal to the way a word is said.
Yeah.
So I love that. And there's this really nerdy word that I use in class, and it's mondegreen, and it means misunderstanding or misinterpreting a word. Like if you mishear it and you think, you know, all the times we grew up singing a song and you're singing the wrong lyric And you thought, well, no, I thought it said this. No, no, no. It says this. So it's a mishearing. And sometimes when we mumble, some of those mumbles start sounding like words. And mm-hmm. so, right. You're like, oh, that sounded like you said this.
Yeah.
So it kind of informs us in a really subconscious way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's been my process for a while, I think, with the mumbling and just kind of, but I also have gotten into the thing where I've gotten stuck with the mumbling and I've listened to the demo so many times to where I start like getting lost in the mumbles. And then when I end up writing it, I feel like it doesn't sound as good as the mumbles. And there's been cases where I've actually left the mumble in because they sounded like good enough words. And I was like, I can't like beat that, you know?
Yeah.
But I actually have, I brought up like one of the mumbles for the song we just played too, if
great.
You want to.
Oh, I love it. Please.
So like, here's like the verse of me singing like the mumble.
I want to know if you could go home. Because I lost my head. And you got to go. Would you come home? Because I read that thing.
Get the chorus. There's like nothing there. I mean, there's like a few like moments where it's like, you know, I always wanted to cry. Like I kept that in because it's a cool line. Yeah. But I had like nothing, you know, and that went to this.
I always wanted to cry. You went to Portland. You're never coming back. I knew you wouldn't. Oh, that you're leaving behind. I couldn't follow.
You know, so it kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of worked on that one, yeah.
And Portland emerged.
Portland emerged, yeah. Actually, I started that one while I was in Australia shooting the wilds. And I was just in my room and I was really like, just, it was isolating, you know, it was the middle of COVID. It was the first time on like an acting gig that I had traveled by myself without my parents. And it was like, you know, really the first time I was there for 6 months. So it was the first time I was kind of on my own. I'd been touring as a teenager, but like I was always with my parents as well. So this is the first time I was on my own, and you know, got a little lonely, and you know, I wasn't in a relationship at the time, and but I kind of wanted to write a song that kind of gave this feeling of being in a relationship, but it's like not a good relationship, and you feel really alone, and kind of just wanted to articulate my feelings while I was in Australia kind of by myself, and especially because we did like a 14-day quarantine before we got to like actually like meet everybody in the cast, and it was like really, yeah, it was really isolating. And so I kind of came up with this story about, you know, someone leaving to Portland, but you know, really not wanting them to go and doing everything in your power to have them stay, but you know, at the end of the day it's like hopeless.
And I just hearing you sing that, just hearing the melody, the first round where it's a mumblings, I feel that. I really feel that. And you can really focus in on what melody do I feel? What melody am I feeling? How is it matching how I'm feeling? And I love this conversation because this is very different than writing. You know, sometimes when we write something, we just get assigning syllables, like clearly defined syllables to notes, which I think is very different than sort of, okay, what, you know, how am I feeling? What sound do I need to make right now? And then those sounds almost just become sort of like vowel expressions. And then you hear those vowels and you almost hear some sort of a word forming. It's a really interesting way to mine a song.
Yeah. Yeah,
needs to say.
Yeah, it kind of for this one, I ended up writing a verse and a bridge with Misha, my friend Misha, and I couldn't figure out the chorus. Like, I was stuck with the mumble. Second verse, I couldn't figure out. And then I met, actually, no, I had met Stella before. Oh, no, I met Stella, like, after. Yeah. And then I met Stella, and I was like, hey, I have a song that I think you might be able to, like, do something on. And she sent me a demo, like, the next day after I sent her the project. And it had this second verse, this wonderful second verse that's mostly just her. And she really helped with finishing the song. And she also did a version of the chorus. So I was like, okay, yeah, it's not quite where I want it yet, but it's definitely closer. So then from there, I took that and kind of started forming it closer to the story that I was trying to tell. And that's how the song became its thing. I also have to give a shout out to my mix engineer, Elijah, who I've been getting all of my stuff mixed by, a really close friend of mine, Elijah Merritt Hitch, who's an incredible mix engineer. Because I'm not super technical. I do feel like when I produce, I do think about mixing. So I mix while I produce, which is not like a thing that I think a lot of people, I think people sometimes focus more on, like, you know, the ideas and like the creative kind of coming out first, which is very important, and like getting that on the paper and then later on tweaking the sounds and making things sound good. But for me personally, I need everything to sound really good, like even from like the first bounce when I send it to someone. So but Elijah is my first experience into having my music mixed by someone, and he's really just been able to just clean things up. And just, you know, having an ear on your work from someone else is important in my opinion, you know, because you kind of get stuck on things and you listen to things 100 times a day, and, you know, you get stuck on how things sound. So having somebody else put their take on it and then kind of coming together to, you know, get the overall sound that you hear on streaming is really special to me. So shout out.
Yeah, it's really important to have a couple of people in your life that you really trust. You, first of all, you trust their taste and their talent, but you also trust that they're going to be honest and offer good feedback. And we just get so saturated with sounds, we have no more perspective. And so that's really the gift of someone who can just walk in with a cleansed palate and notice.
Yeah.
Whatever that thing will be.
Of course.
So you have another song that I want to talk to you about and I really want to play. And that one, first of all, I'd love to talk with you about your process. Was that another mumbling song? This is titled 100 Years, by the way, and I do want to play it, but I'd love for you to just maybe talk a little bit about it before we listen.
Yeah, yeah. This one I actually also started in Australia on the wilds. A lot of the music I've recently been releasing has been like old demos that I've, you know, resurrected and ended up finishing more recently. But this one I started in Australia with my friend Nicholas Coombe, who's also on the wilds, but incredible songwriter as well. Him and his wife, actually, I produced his wife's project called AV, and they just came into town and we did a new project as well. But yeah, we ended up doing this idea. It was also mumble for forever, like 2.5 years of just this mumble song, and it wasn't anything. And then I got into a relationship recently for the first time, and we can talk about, you know, what the song's about afterwards as well, but which is about her. But you know, then when I met her, I was like, okay, I kind of know what I want to tell in this song. And yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's great. All right, let me play it. Here we go.
So close on a Tuesday night, and we can't decide what we wanna eat. I could do this forever. It's so cold in this weather. Keep you warm till early morning. I close the door so no one hears us talking. Give my 2 cents. That I don't care. I know my soul would be okay with you near. I put you in my my arms and don't go. I wanna hold you for 100 years. Wherever we go after that, I don't care. I know my soul would be okay with you near. I put you in my arms and don't go. Saying I love you, I love you, I love you. Sometimes I wish you'd be less hard on yourself. And you're the best thing that I've known in a long time, I swear. No, no. Yeah, you know I don't wanna fall back asleep. Cause that's just time away from you and me, I confess. I wanna hold you for 100 years. Wherever we go after that, I don't care. I know my soul would be okay with you near. I put you in my arms and don't go. I wanna hold you for 100 years. Wherever we go after that, I don't care. I know my soul would be okay with you near. I put you in my arms and don't go. Saying I love you, I love you, I love you. Love you for 100 years. Wherever we go after that, I don't care. I know my soul would be okay with you near. I put you in my arms and don't go. Saying I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love that.
Oh, thank you.
I love that. You know, one of the things I want to say about that, and this is just something that is something I'm talking a lot about, is, you know, how are we keeping and holding the attention of our listener? I mean, the attention spans are really a challenge, and there's so many other things for people to be doing and listening to. There's 100 books we can either sit and read or listen to on Audible. There's your show to binge on, what was that, Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon.
There's all the things, right? And so we're really thinking about more and more, like, how do we keep people engaged? And one of the ways that we can do that as a songwriter is to do something unexpected in our song, which means obviously we have to set up an expectation. So you've set up the first verse in a certain way. Then when we hear the second verse, one of the things that you have done to sort of elevate the song is to add some production sounds that you didn't have in verse one.
Right.
So as a producer, that's something we can do. We can add something new and unexpected. Is there any way you could play verse one and then just go right to verse two, and we'll just listen into the difference between those two? You know, back in the day when we were all focused in on sort of classic songwriting, there was an absolute loyalty for verse two to match verse one, syllable by syllable, note by note. And that's very different today in pop music.
Cool. So yeah, here I'll play the first verse.
Hold you so close on a Tuesday night, and we can't decide what we wanna eat. I could do this forever. It's so cold in this weather. Keep you warm till early morning. I close the door so no one hears us talking. Give my 2 cents. Can't believe I met you at 21. The end of day, I caught it. I knew you.
That's the first verse, and then it goes to the second verse.
I wanna hold you for 100 years. Wherever we go after that, I don't care. I know my soul would be okay with you near. I put you in my arms and don't go. For 100 years. Wherever we go after that, I don't care. I know my soul would be okay with you near.
Yeah, so there's some drums and there's some vocal chop stuff, and yeah, that guitar thing actually, it's just my friend, that's Nick, like singing some melodies, and I ended up taking like a melody part from his melody take and like putting it through like distortion and stuff, and it ended up becoming like this cool like guitar part that kind of repeats throughout the song.
But it's a nice surprise, and it really re-engages the listener. It's just another way to keep them in with you. Nick, who's Nick? Nick who?
Nicholas Coombe. He's
okay.
uh
Oh, that's right. You mentioned him. Okay, great.
yeah.
So thank you for doing that. That was really nice to hear the
Of
difference.
course.
And you know, the other thing I loved about your verses is that you have this first melodic idea, which is lower, and then the second half, you have this melody that just goes up a lot higher.
Yeah.
And that's really a beautiful verse writing, because it's not expected and you didn't repeat it exactly. You evolve that melody right in the verse. And I really love how that works. And so since you're mumbling, since that's your favorite way to write, do you have a version of this where we could hear those original mumbles? Because you said those mumbles stayed around for a long time until you met the person, until you met the muse that really
Right.
let you finish the song.
The muse of my life right now. I'll play like the first verse of the mumble up into the chorus. And yeah, this was from April 2nd, 2021. So yeah, 2 years ago. Here you go.
Watch you back on a Tuesday night, and you come inside and I call aloud and your door's died. And your course died. Doors would die, door la 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 da da la da 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 da.
Gets kind of weird, but yeah, all the melodies kind of stayed the same. A lot of the time, like I when I do like melody takes while I'm writing it, the melodies end up changing just to fit the words a little more. But for that song, ended up staying majority the same. I mean, the chorus sounds different, but yeah.
So I think this is definitely, if for anybody listening who has not tried this as a songwriter, I highly recommend that you try writing a song where you can just focus in on the melody and the rhythm of the melody and sort of just mumble and see what happens, see what comes out. Sometimes you'll get lines and words, but sometimes you'll just get sounds. And then sometimes, you know, that can be a little frustrating because, you know, sometimes you can go, I don't know what verse wants to say. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the second verse wants to say. I really can't find my way out of the song. But when you're collaborating and you're working with other people, but, and you're writing something this beautiful and inspiring, it's going to be really easy for them to help you finish the song, because it's just so inspiring. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you so
much. Lovely. It's a great song. I think
thank you.
So this is out. This is on Spotify.
Yeah, this just came out they released it like almost a month ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it stayed like this for like two years. And then I got into a relationship, fell in love for the very first time. Like, it was the first time. It is the first time that I'm like in love with somebody and have felt like the love. And yeah, it was like really quick finishing the song. Like, we were about to leave to Hawaii to go like visit my grandma and stuff. And I was like, feeling like I want to write this song right now. And I like wrote it in a day, and all the vocals that are on the song are like the first take that I did, when I wrote it. And yeah, kind of just became what it is.
Well, it's just beautiful, and it's going to, I don't know. This is a pretty romantic song. I think this is definitely one to play at a wedding, play at an anniversary.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is
hopefully
special.
It'll play at our wedding. Shout out to Brie.
That's so great. All right. So mumbling. And the other thing that I wanted to see about, because, you know, I do see quite a few guitars in the background there. Any chance you just maybe play something recent that you haven't recorded yet?
You play, so Stella, who I was talking about earlier, who I made Portland with, We did another song called Do or Die, that I could play a little bit of, that is probably going to be the next single, not recorded yet for some reason.
And I like you, I'm over in thinking we're too good to break. And I want you all over my surface, every inch of me. 'Cause your location on the way, I know you would, I know you would. Body burning in my brain, you know I would, you know I would. You lie sometimes, but I don't mind. And it's not right, but we do or die. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Do, yeah. And I try to confuse your lies with patience. How am I supposed to stay? And I could figure it out, but every time I'm walking out, you drag me down. The only time I call is when I need you to understand me. Stand me. Too late, your location on the way, I know you would, I know you would. Body burning in my brain, you know I would, you know I would. You lie sometimes, but I don't mind. And it's not right, but we do or die. 'Cause I don't wanna be so alone. Yeah, I don't wanna be so alone tonight. I don't wanna be so alone. Yeah, I don't wanna be so alone. You lie sometimes, but I don't mind. And it's not right, but we do or die.
Yeah, so that's a new one called Do or Die.
So that was beautiful. I would love to take a minute and ask you, as a guitar player, if there are any voicings or way, or any chords you're in love with, or any special guitar voicings that have you found to be inspiring for people who might sort of be in a sonic rut. Because oftentimes we do, we pick up a guitar and our fingers go in the same shapes. And I don't know, is there, not that you have to be a virtuoso to do it, but are there a couple of go-tos lately that you have just found inspiring that you would share?
Yeah. I can share some stuff. Once again, I'm not like an incredible guitar player. I don't want any guitar players to get offended by my terminology here, but I'm trying to think. I mean, I love these three chords that I use almost in everything. It's just like C, D, E minor, and like I just, you know, do variations on that. I don't even know like the terminology, because like, I kind of just like to experiment. I've been experimenting more with like tuning and stuff more recently as well. Mm-hmm. Just kind of trying different, you know, different strings at certain tunes. And like for 100 years, Nick played the guitar on that, but I'm pretty sure he messed up like tuning and stuff, because I haven't been able to figure out the chords that sound like the actual record.
Yeah. So tuning, figuring out a different tuning is a great way to sort of shake up the way that we usually write.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love like also like just capoing on like a higher fret and I don't really know. Just like trying different things, you know? I mean, like I said, like I've never taken a guitar lesson. So I've kind of just been doing what sounds good. And honestly, that's my thing. That's my philosophy on
on everything. Just if it sounds good to you, you know, just do it. Like, there's not really a right way of making music, or like, obviously there's techniques and like things you can learn and, you know, trying different things. But in my opinion, like, the best music comes out of just trying different things and figuring things out for yourself, and like, you know, being like, oh, I like that, or I don't like that, so I won't do that again, you know. But it's like, just, you know, that I feel like that's also the best way of like trying to develop your sound, your own sound, and trying those things that you don't normally think are like technically correct, you know, with like EQing and compression and all that stuff. Like, I think it's just, you know, really staying true to like what you, trusting your own gut, you know, because I fall into just like sending things to everybody and like needing like input on everything. And you know, it's always good to like get other people's opinions on things. But I think like you said, finding that tight knit group of people that you care about and sending it to them and getting their ear on it. But also just like staying true to yourself. Like, if you think something sounds good, but like maybe technically it's not correct, like, who, you know, who cares really? It's like, it's music.
Yeah, when you come up with something that isn't technically correct, you're being innovative, and all of a sudden people are going, how did you do that? What is that? And now you've got this secret. And do you have anyone in your life that you trust that doesn't understand music, but you just love to play it for them because they always have something great to say?
Yeah, probably my partner, Bree. I mean, she's not a musician and doesn't know anything technical, but her music taste is incredible. And I really trust her, her input on everything. Cause in like, she gives a song like 5 seconds, 10 seconds. And she's like, I don't like that. And sometimes like, just listen to it a little bit longer. But it's also like, you know, like you said, like attention span and, you know, keeping someone's attention on a song can be a hard thing to do. And I have another song that I put out recently called What Could Ever Really Go Wrong that's completely different than these two songs we listened to today. And I was going to send it to you, but then I was like, we're talking about songwriting. Like, What Could Ever Really Go Wrong is like musically like an insane, like ridiculous piece of music that I'd love to get your input on after this. But it's like definitely more like I just put all my production stuff in a bag.
Oh, come on, we have to hear it. We have to hear it.
You want to hear it?
You gotta play it. I mean, you gotta play it. I'm gonna let you screen. Hold on, let me let you share. Give me 1 second, sorry.
No worries.
Oh yeah, let's listen to this. Yeah, you're good. You can share. Is there any way?
Yeah.
That you would play one song on ukulele before we go? Just one.
Yeah, of course.
Just for old time's sake. Okay.
What do you want? You wanted me to do that right now?
No, let's play this. We'll talk about it, and then maybe you can end with one.
Cool. Yeah.
And I say ukulele because, you know, just like I don't say France, I say France because people hate it when you.
Yeah.
If you're not from Hawaii, you have to say ukulele.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't. I'm not really like. I love the ukulele. I'm grateful for everything that it's brought to me. In my career, and I'm really thankful for it. But I haven't played it in a long time, to be honest.
Do you want to say anything about this? Was there also mumbling involved in the process?
This one actually was a couple mumbling stuff, but this one took a long time to add this beat from like 2020, and okay. And I just built on it. Yeah.
Great. And this is out too. People can.
This is out. Yeah. This?
Okay,
yeah.
Great. All right. And tell us the title one more time.
What Could Ever Really Go Wrong?
I'm so tired of always playing pretend. Spend to make and do it all over again. Dirt in my eyes, so I can never see through the disguise. And every time I play, she calls my bluff. Was it enough? I should've called it another night. Just to start a fight, it's just another fight, yeah.
he's got a gun. And I just keep on driving every other. Just a flame's got a gun. And you just keep on talking just to start a fight. It's just another fight. Try to keep it in time. Gotta leave for the night. Welcome to another day in paradise. Cated on my close relations. I could stop, but what could I do?
Gosh, I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
For me, you know, the sort of craziness of the music where you said everything is happening, it feels like, as far as the prosody of the song goes, it feels like what could ever go wrong? And then you've got all of these random, not random, but just sort of this really busy random track where it's like, it's great prosody for all the things that could go wrong because there's so many options, there's so many sounds. So I really, really love that.
Thank you. Yeah, that one's my favorite. It's my favorite, but it's a little, you know, it's weird. It was weirder than the other ones, but
no, it's great. I would love to have you read down the lyric though, because yeah. I was so lost in the great groove of the song and just all of the sounds that you have in production. So yeah, read it. Read us the lyric.
The lyrics. Yeah, I can do the lyrics. The first verse is like, "I'm so tired of always playing pretend." Spend to make and do it all over again. Dirt in my eyes so I can never see through the disguise. And every time I play, she calls my bluff. Was it enough? I should have called it another night. And I just keep on driving every other night. You just keep on talking just to start a fight. It's just another fight. Yeah, it's line of sight. Now welcome to another day in paradise. Now welcome to another way to throw the dice. And don't you quit your day job, that's some bad advice. It's just a sacrifice, yeah, it's thinking twice. Now welcome to another day in paradise. And it keeps going on, I mean, keep going, but yeah, it's funny how things burn me out. Confiscated, eradicated all my close relations. I could stop, but what could ever really go wrong? What could ever really go wrong? Paramount, tear it down, forget it, yeah, yeah, yeah. I tried and tried again, but I just can't pretend I'm up too fast, I got the bends, yeah. I ride out 2%, I hit the sides late at night, oh yeah, but what could ever really go wrong?
It's just about like, I felt like I wanted to write a song about like growing up as like if I was like in high school right now, or even like middle school, like right now, everything's so hectic, everything's so like, you know, social media, it's just like kind of just everything. I just wanted to put it in this song, and there's like some random stuff, and like I say a line like Josephine's got it going, and Josephine's like this character that I randomly put in some songs sometimes, and I put it on like my merch and stuff, and people don't even know, they don't know what it means, but I don't even know what it means, but it's like Josephine's got it going, like everybody's got things going. And yeah, I was just like, I wrote it with my friend Misha, and I was just like, I just want to do like a random thing about like just like living as like a kid right now, you know.
This is a great, I really love this song.
Thanks so much.
So good to hear you. It's great. But I love the idea of the mumbling and really finding the song that way, as opposed to having the music meet the lyric. So I know you haven't played ukulele in a really long time, but because it feels like part of you, because you've been playing since you were four, it'd be so great to hear you share one song. You're probably gonna have to tune for us.
I mean, shout out Kamaka Ukulele. They've supported me throughout my whole career and continue to support me. And Yeah, and I love that whole family over there. See that?
So you're a pretty focused, driven person. Your mom is also really hardworking, and I know that your sister is also a dancer.
Yeah, I love that you know that.
And your dad, what does he do?
He's in both my parents are in film and TV.
Yeah.
And my mom freelances on a lot of Hawaii, so she goes back to Hawaii a lot still too.
Yeah. So you've got this, you know, drive. However, it's like this relaxed, casual kind of drive, which is interesting. Do you find that when you're around other people, or you've left Hawaii and you've met other people in the industry, do you feel that you're more kind of laid back because of the place you were raised?
That's interesting. Actually, no, I haven't thought about that. Maybe that is why I'm like pretty, I am very like, I feel like I found a very like new confidence for my music. And, you know, that's the only way to like get things moving is if you believe in your music, you know. It's like, I think just like, you know, being shy or like holding back like your music that you've worked hard on, and like you've spent the money to like get it mixed and mastered, and you spent money on production or you've learned production and you spent all this time into it, you know, to like not want to like share it and like have people listen to it. It's like, no, like I want people to listen to this music. Like it's what I've made. Like I love it. It's me, you know. I want to share that. So like, I think just in order to like to get things moving, like you have to like have that confidence in your music and like, you know, what you're sharing in the world, and you're going to want to share that with people. And I think, you know, it took me a while to like figure that out, because I was a teenager, you know, getting these opportunities to like play around the world and like play the ukulele and share like looping with ukulele, but I was playing other people's music, and I felt like I was very lost in like trying to figure out my sound. So then when I finally found my sound, I was like, oh my, like I want to share this with people. And it's also why I'm really like thankful for you having me on to like dissect my songs and like talk about songwriting, because that's all I've ever wanted in my career, just for like my music to be taken seriously. Because I think like when you're a teenager, like playing around the world and like getting these really cool opportunities that I'm forever grateful for, it can get lost in like the cuteness of it, or like, you know, like the impressiveness of it, where it's just like, I just want people to like listen to the music and like find joy in that music and appreciation for like the songs. Like I don't like, especially now, I don't care about like coming off as like cute or like impressive at like a young age. I just want people to like enjoy the music. I just want to make good music. So I really appreciate you like just like listening to the songs and sharing it from this perspective, because that's all.
Well, I'm going to be adding them to my listening list. I want to listen to these over and over again. These are wonderful songs, and I'm just thrilled to, you know, talk with you and kind of pull the curtain back and see like what, you know, what's your process? How do you think about creating this? So I thank you for sharing all of that. And all right, are you all tuned? You can share a song with us.
This song called Weekdays. This one's out online as well. This one's on streaming. It's older though. Came out like 2021, I think. 2019. I don't know. Does that sound all right?
It could be a little louder. Is there a way for you to make that louder on your end?
Yeah, I get lost in you all night. Don't know if it's wrong or right. Keep thinking that it's all gonna be okay. I'll hold you through the night if you would stay. Slip away through pain and watching films with you all night. Kinda wish you'd only exist in my mind. But you're never not lonely. You're only in my dreams watching you fade away. Dream up everything. Night and
You thought you were believing, but you were only dreaming. Living inside a world made up of your imagination. Running circles around your mind, you can do it all the time. Pulling you back down around and around again. You thought you were believing, you were only dreaming. Living inside a world made up of your imagination. Running circles around your mind, you can do it all the time. Pulling you back down around and around again.
Something like that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I met you in Hawaii and, you know, you were holding a ukulele at the time. And, you know, so it was really nice to end with you playing. And I'm just thrilled for you. And I want everyone to download your songs.
Of course.
Immediately.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me, Scarlett.
Oh, it was great.
The music's under Laprette, L-A-P-R-E-T-E on all streaming. And
I am going to put a link. I'm going to put a link in the show notes so everyone can do that. This was wonderful. It just made my day, and your songs are fabulous, and all the best to you, and hope to see
all
you
the best
in the
to you. Thank you so
future.
Much for having me.
Yeah, really absolutely, Aiden. Okay.
Bye, everybody.
That was such a fun conversation and so many takeaways. I really hope that you will try the mumbling. It's come up several times with different songwriters, and I really do think there's so much value in trying different techniques. So offer up a mumbling who knows what and see what you have to say. See what needs to be uncovered. All right. I want to thank you all so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. And I want to thank Peter Sykes, as always, for mixing this episode, and Otto Gross for co-writing, producing, and singing the theme song for the show. And mostly to you for listening and for just being songwriters. The world needs your songwriting. So I hope I will see you all this coming Saturday for the workshop, and go write a song.
What's in a song?